Chapter 14.
Lysander. Into the storm.
1,000 Praetorians, the love knight, and the daughter of Romulus, follow me west to seek the eye of the desert storm. It makes us 1,003 worlds of misery. Serafina and Kalindora flank me, each man, each woman, alone in the darkness of their suits, imprisoned by the wind and sand. Left foot, right foot, left foot. Courtesy of Serafina's storm experience, we employ a rim trick. Towing wire holds us together like grapes, so we do not lose one another in the storm. Periodically, Serafina and Praetorians with storm experience detach to scout our perimeter. Still, our progress is slower than desired. Storm winds hit us head-on, and increase to over 800 kilometers per hour, with visibility of scarcely 2 meters. The storm robs us of the sky and our instruments. Bit by bit, trespassing against the wind drains our star shells. After 8 hours of this, only the transition of the storm's dimness to absolute darkness denotes the arrival of night. When the wind lulls, we jog, tripling our pace by using the thrusters in small bursts. Several lines snap because of this, and we lose Praetorians in the storm. There is no going back for them or for us. The fear that gripped me in the tube of the Anihilo is gone. The sensation of standing on the edge of the cliff was worse than the fall. Life has winnowed down to a simple task and survival. That simplicity is a comfort. For years I was in a torpor and cowardly in indecision. Here I have certainty. I will prove myself to Ajax, to Atalantia. I am their family, not their rival. Forward, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. Something is out there, Serafina says. I peer into the darkness and see nothing. Still, Kalindora gives the order to hunker down. We prime our weapons. Holy hells! Contact! There's a chorus of hold-fire calls from the scouts. Dread shapes move in the murk. Only when they come within 5 meters and they engage their lights can we see they are star shells. 10 of them. Our headlamps illuminate votum hammer sigils painted on the chassis. Might be hundreds behind them, for all we can see. One steps out before the others. My comm crackles, and a handsome sun-dark face illuminated by star-shell interior lights glows in my HUD.
Ever the evening, good men. And we thought we were the only civil company for 1,000 clicks. Is that not Kalindora herself I gaze upon?
Cicero, you scoundrel! You're supposed to be in the plains of Caduceus.
Squeaks the mouse to the rat, he says with light menace. Mayhaps love is lost in the storm, my friends. Didn't you know Heliopolis is just a skip to the south?
A beat of silence. I go where I am ordered.
Like a good knight. The peril of oaths, no?
But fear not, my intrepid father noticed a certain lack of leopards on his flank in the plains of Caduceus, and has sent us to ensure that no skullduggery is afoot at the gates of Heliopolis.
His voice lowers.
The city belongs to my father, Scorpio, and House Votum. We are weary of grimace henchmen skulking in the dark.
Prepare to fire, Kalindora says, over the private channel.
I have them flanked, Serafina intones. I count 400. Could be more.
Belay that, I snap. No Praetorian will fire on allies, nor will you, Serafina.
Yes, Dominus,
Roan says, and gives the order for all Praetorians to stand down. Kalindora goes into a stony silence.
Private communications, eh, Kalindora? I don't need to crack your code to know what you said, Cicero says. Not enough that that loony's bitch tries to steal our city. She'll spill old blood like there's so much of it left.
Salve, Cicero, I say, taking over from Kalindora.
And who's that? He asks.
I share my face via hologram,
I knew Cicero as a child. Not well, but on the occasions when his family visited Luna, Grandmother insisted I entertain the voluble heir of House Votum. To be honest, I found it tiresome, if not a little entertaining. He is 10 years older, and thus his condescension is limitless and hilarious, yet unlike Ajax he recognizes me immediately.
"Hades on high," he says, without an ounce of surprise. "Is that Lysander our loon in the pinkish flesh?"
So his father told him.
"You never do forget a face, Cicero.
Not the pretty ones, at least. Father didn't lie. Not dead after all, my, my. Atalantia has roped you into her schemes. How the beast now leads the master."
"We are en route to destroy the storm god," I say.
"There aren't any storm gods on our planet."
"There are. Explanations can wait. You want your city back. I won't stop you. But you won't get there if those engines are still running. I imagine your cores are as depleted as ours." He does not reply. "We have a pickup scheduled." That gets his attention. "What say you lend us a hand, and we ride for Heliopolis together in the morning?" He laughs, as if he were on a beach.
"For such a dramatic union I'll play earnest. So long as you support our claim to Heliopolis when we find Ajax, that mischievous little tart."
Kalindora reminds me that it would put me in direct conflict with Atalantia, but she's already done that by summoning the Praetorians. "Heliopolis was built by House Votum. With House Votum it should remain," I say.
"Splendid. Then the Scorpion Legion is at your service, my good man. Or is it my liege? I suppose Father will decide, if he survives the North. Calamity, good man."
His mind darkens.
"Calamity."
I cannot divine the strength of the Scorpion Legion, as they add their numbers to ours. Though Cicero continues to babble in my ear, I'm soon lost in the now familiar grind. Left, right, left. I'm deep in the drudgery when a hand grips my armoured shoulder. I blink out of my daze to see that it is 3 in the morning. Landfall plus 17. I look back to see the Praetorians arrayed 50 deep to my right. The Scorpions emerge from the dust to my left. They must be several thousand in number. At dire cost to our energy cause, we have made it to the eye of the storm. I hadn't even realized. It is a different world. The eye is 50 kilometers in diameter, the air pacific and clear of sand, as if held in static twilight. A desert dealing watches us with suspicion. A formless beast lurks beneath the mass of a hoodoo, its eyes winking like coins. More beasts of all varieties float within the gravity shadow of the engines. They didn't even bother to diffuse the gravity shadow. All this is surrounded by a vortex of sand, which swirls around a monolith of grey metal. The storm god floats kilometres above the desert. Wreathing its shoulders and stretching toward the heavens is a swirling marble cloak of clouds veined with lightning. Beneath that, little more than a fringe to that cloak, is the swirling sand. Many of the animals who sought shelter here gather in the grip of its gravity engines. It breaks something inside me to see an instrument of creation perverted into a weapon. Whatever doubt I held vanishes. Darrow is no longer a good man. Even Atalantia declined to use her atomics on actual cities, but to kill us, Darrow will drown the northern coast of Helios. Tyche, Kaikos, Priapos, Erebos will all be in the path of tidal waves. Millions will die. I do not know if it can be stopped, but he must be.
This feels like a dream, Seraphina whispers.
This war is proving to be all she ever wanted. Cicero eyes the woman with interest and calls something to her. I can barely hear him for the wind. Our instruments are dazzled with false readings. I fear we will not be able to reach Ajax even in the morning, which is why he is scheduled to come with pickup at 0600, if we manage to down the engine. I find Kalindora at my side. Unlike Serafina, she is not in thrall to the storm god. Sorrow fills her eyes as she looks up and up. She has seen horror many times before. This is merely its bleakest evolution. "Your thermal runway," I say. She turns with a grim expression and pulls Roan to her. "Prepare to engage in six columns, double heavy fronts. Prep three wedges for a flank charge." She summons Cicero. "Robbed of our orbital support, we will have to do this the old-fashioned way." I check my ammunition just as there's a flash from the storm god. Cicero ducks with me. At the great distance, I cannot distinguish what it is. Before I can pull up my optics, Serafina tilts her head back to me.
"Gasha, don't be such a—"
And then the entire top half of her starshell disappears as a rail slug the size of a man rips Romulus's daughter clean in half. My commands stick in the base of my throat as the legs of the mech teeter and collapse sideways, spilling her intestines out the top. "Incoming!" Kalindora bellows.